Hi there. Welcome to another episode of the Customer-Led Groove Show, where we discuss and share the best practices and the latest trends in customer marketing, advocacy, and customer-led growth. Today's episode is brought to you by BASE, a pioneer in B2B marketing and the industry's first CLG ecosystem for customer-led marketers, sales, and product professionals. Okay, let's welcome the CLG team and today's guests.
Hi there, Scott Wilder here, and welcome to another episode of Customer-Led Groove, orchestrated by BASE. Sounds like the BASE part of the orchestra. No, but it's more than that. So I'm very excited today to talk to Kristen Engelhardt from Automation Anywhere. And Kristen spoke at the Obsession Conference recently and really loved her presentation. But even more than that, Kristen's been a partner in crime, a thought partner, a mentor, all that great stuff. So Kristen, welcome.
Thank you, Scott. It is such an honor to be here and super fun. And right back at you, thought partner, partner in crime. It's been really, really great for us to be working in our parallel and connected universes together. Thank you for having me.
Now, it's great to have you here. And I think what you said is really, you know, we're kind of all in this together as community moves, you know, more front and center. And so lots of questions for you, but maybe tell me a little bit about your journey and how you got to where you are today.
We're talking at a great time. It is my 1 year anniversary with Automation Anywhere, which is so exciting. My previous company I was with for 16 years. So I grew up in the SaaS industry at Salesforce, but really my origins in community building actually started in my very first job out of college. I was living and working in St. Petersburg, Russia, which is not a common answer to that question, I realize.
Wow.
I know. And
okay, let's talk about St. Petersburg. Forget all this community stuff.
Yeah, right. Here. I mean, it was a great place to be when it was at the beginning of Westernization and being 22. Because when you're 22, the world is your oyster and you think you can do anything. And to get to a cold place in the middle of winter, I had been practicing the language for 4 or 5 years, but nothing prepared me for being able to navigate such a foreign place. And what I found was there were other 22-year-old expats there and a wonderful community of Russian students and, you know, newly minted professionals. We were all about the same age. And everyone helped each other navigate. One person knew where the first Western grocery store was opening. Someone else had a fax machine. My contribution was this new thing called email. And each person contributed. And together, we didn't just survive this cold winter and this foreign place and our first jobs all at the same time, but we also thrived together. And it's no surprise that how I show up in my career now, all these years later, is investing in and building community because it was so foundational for me.
So you left Salesforce. And so what's been the biggest change difference in going to Automation Anywhere?
Well, it's been really, really fun to join the leadership team here at Automation Anywhere. We are the number one cloud provider of automation solutions. Some people refer to that as RPA. I think one of the best things about building community in a new space is both how similar the building basics, the foundational building blocks of community and advocacy are the same, but also with such a fascinating and powerful technology. For folks who don't know what automation is, it takes anything manual, data entry, cutting and pasting, loan processing, pharmaceutical testing, uploading millions of 1099s during tax season or order processing all the things we buy online, everything, and automates it so that people don't have to spend their time doing mundane tasks, but have much more time to unleash all of their potential, drive their customer relationships, handle more complex problems. And so all of our customers that I get to work with and build community with are in these industries, retail, finance, oil and gas, anyone who's trying to unleash their team's talent and creativity on customer-facing work, not data entry. They invest in our automation success platform. And I get to, with a fabulous team, build the community of practitioners and developers.
Awesome. Was there anything in place before you got there from a community perspective?
Yes, definitely some amazing beachheads and talented people. I think one of the most interesting things, and you asked me about differences, and this goes into the similarity and difference bucket. When I was working at Salesforce, I joined that company in 2004 when there were 800 people, right? And the day I left a year ago, there were 76,000. So I had a front seat to building from scratch and scale. And I get to take all of the lessons learned, the big aha moments, the scars on my back, and apply them to where Automation Anywhere is in its growth journey. And just like my previous organization, we are on a fast path. Automation is an incredibly growing market. It is recession-proof. The trajectory of where the company is going is full of energy and excitement. So that's very similar. All of our customers, I've spent literally a year on the road meeting with them, doing workshops and dinners and cabs and all those wonderful things. And their only question is, how can you help us go faster? So I wasn't quite prepared for the like right out of the gate, like build it, invest it, scale it all at once. But I do have the benefit of a fantastic team and really great beachheads. And what's really important in community building, a leadership team and a CEO, a COO and a C team that are invested in the power of community to drive advocacy and groundswell growth.
You know, what I really appreciate is that I find as community leaders, customer marketers, et cetera, it's going to sound crazy. It's pretty unusual to actually talk to or meet customers. And I know that's like a really sweeping statement, but, you know, and COVID has made that even a little more challenging. I mean, you can do it via Zoom, but when I worked it into it, we were forced to either adopt a company, and so we meet them in person, or to do follow me homes and things like that, or follow people back to their business. So I think as a community leader, I know you do more than that. That's really, you know, kudos to you. So I want to talk a little bit about advocacy in the age of community.
Yes.
Big topic here. Recently, there was some research was done saying 50% of companies, more SaaS technology companies, are thinking about how to merge advocacy and community. I know you've been in the space for a long time, so maybe you could talk about kind of the journey of advocacy and community and, you know, how things have changed in terms of those two together.
That is such a great question and such an important topic for all of us who are invested in this space. I would definitely say, Scott, that I have seen a transformation. Go back 10 or 15 years, community was community, advocacy was advocacy. They were separate, they were siloed. And a lot of times the teams and people working in these spaces and, you know, building their careers didn't feel like they could look to the other team as a partner, right? It could even be adversarial. What we see today is this semi-permeable barrier moving to absolute transparency and merging it from where I sit. And I say that because our customer communities have taken us there. If you or I or any of your listeners were to go on LinkedIn right now, I think, Scott, they would see some very common themes in what people are sharing on what was once a very professional, career-oriented, just about the job platform. They are sharing things like, you know, I'm really uncomfortable in the spotlight, but I got this award and I'm taking a step and sharing it, right? Or, you know, how many posts and stories and blog posts have we seen that began, I'm not usually, you know, a poster, but this moved me to share, right? I think that as we emerge from the biggest parts of the most intense parts of the pandemic, that we are seeing these common things in how people are communicating. They are personal, they are vulnerable, they are authentic and accessible. And our communities are setting the guideposts for those of us who want to hear their voices. And it merges the authenticity of community with the fantastic storytelling of classic customer advocacy and customer marketing. And if we want to meet our customers where they are, we have to work together.
So from an organization perspective, how should people get started or think about bringing these two together?
Well, I don't think there's any one way. I can tell you that where an organization is in its maturity makes a really big difference. I can share at Automation Anywhere that our fantastic and amazing community leader and our fantastic and amazing customer advocacy leader talk and work together every single day. And even though one leader sits in community and one leader sits in marketing, it is two sides of the same coin. And there are many, many organizations, and I think you and I have talked to our peers and people in the business who are making sure that functionally there are experts who know how to drive those functions, but where they sit in the organization depends on where the C-team focus, funding, and prioritization flows.
I like that. It's much better than what I say is depends on the center of gravity in a company.
Like, oh, but I like that too. I like that too.
When I was at Marketo, you know, it was the demand gen, MOPS drove everything, right? You know, and so as I moved to different organizations, it changes a little bit. Just out of curiosity, the community team, so advocacy reports to marketing, where does community report into?
I report to our COO. And my peer in leadership, our CMO, also reports to our COO. We all have the benefit at Automation Anywhere of coming from a place where we saw the power of community and were part of investing in and scaling the Salesforce Trailblazer community. So again, lessons learned, scars on our back. We knew the importance of investing in both parts of the business and a seamless partnership. And I would say any organization who is starting to invest or accelerating investment in either advocacy or community would really benefit from looking at how that two sides of the same coin model can work. And I would say, Scott, think about the problems that these functions are trying to solve, right? So how many of us in this space have, in the customer advocacy world, have experienced that moment where the ask is, you know what? You know, we need a customer to do X, fill in the blank, right? Be on stage at our big conference, write a blog post, do a social campaign with us. And then there is the specificity. You know, I need a customer reference who is in this region, who's used our product for this amount of time in the insurance industry. And then, of course, there's always the big brand asks. Can you make sure we have, pick your global brand, Coca-Cola or Apple, you know, on stage with the CEO? But the reality is, having a list of customers to target and, you know, invest in building the relationships, maybe even having like an amazing database where you track everything, is not necessarily the most effective tool set or approach when you now have this bastion of customers who are already out on social telling their personal stories that involve your brand and product already. And it really flips the model that you used to source from a base of a pyramid and target a very specific type of customer that fit one of those criteria. And I always like to challenge myself and my team or other practitioners of this craft. What if you flipped that pyramid and you looked at everything out in the social world and brought your brand to the stories your customers are already telling, right? Those stories. And being able to reach that huge audience is the community building and the craft of honing the authentic narrative to also support the brand story is the customer advocacy leader's craft, right? And so I think that that concept of flipping the model is really, really interesting.
Yes. So we have some people who are early in their journey. So I got what you said, but I'm going to ask you to repeat yourself a little bit, just in detail of how people should think about the pyramid, what it looks like, what are the kind of the layers?
So the widest base of the pyramid, whether it's sitting flat or flipped over on its targeted tip, is that vast pool of every potential user, customer, partner, student, brand curious person in your ecosystem, right? And you move on down in levels of knowledge and awareness and degree of relationship to the very, very tip, where even the most amazing, awesome customer advocacy leaders in the world, and I get to work with all of them, have those very invested, tight relationships that take a lot of time and nurturing, right? And classic customer advocacy focused just on that tip. And I think the focus, the relationship building, and the depth of story that is available is now not just the tip of the pyramid, but the entire pyramid.
Yeah, I definitely got that. And then in the advocacy at the tip, are there people who are both advocates and community champions, or is it an or?
I think it's an and in my world. I've just seen too many examples of a fantastic user group, right? A wonderful conversation that is one of those essential building blocks of community. And typically the way those are run is, you know, you don't let sales and marketing in. It's a safe space for users to share and learn from each other. Sometimes they're not even recorded, but the conversations are so rich and so powerful, and the customers are so engaged in learning from each other. It's a really natural step to say, hey, five of you who really have the most to say, what if we like write a blog post about what you've learned? Would you share it with the community? Sure, we'd be happy to share it. That's advocacy, right? It doesn't take a huge investment. It takes tapping into the natural storytelling at the base, right? And then from that, you start to feed and fuel that very targeted advocacy machine that does need to line up to brand needs and regional needs and product experience needs. And so that elasticity of the model, that gives you the opportunity to nurture and grow your community relationships and your, it's almost like an editorial function, your future storytellers. And then some people who are not comfortable in the spotlight of a big brand, but are happy to share at the user group level or with their peers in a dinner in their local city, they get to learn the art and power of storytelling that over time will make them amazing advocates on stage, right? So they feed, and the two functions feed and fuel each other. And when they're separate, you're doing a disservice not only to your business and your brand, but your customer community.
Nice, really nice. People who know me know I like acronyms. So okay. I have an acronym for these community, for the champions, the advocates, and I add influencers in there sometimes as well. So I call it the CIA, community, influencers, and advocates.
Scott, I'm stealing that. I'm stealing your acronym. It's so great.
Yeah, well,
that's exactly the trajectory.
Somebody the other day was like, I need to make a presentation to my new leader. I don't know how to tie this all together. And just out of the blue, I said, it's the CIA, and you are the director of the CIA.
I love it.
So besides, you know, there's Salesforce, are there other companies that you've seen out there that you think are doing a good job in this space? Or is it still kind of early in the journey?
Oh, I think I couldn't even list all the companies that are doing a great job, because so many are. And I think that, like, I'll point to Confluent as just one of many examples.
Yep.
They have this developer onboarding first 100 days community program that's just fantastic. And everyone who's a practitioner in community building should go and check it out. And every time they educate and they get a developer through those 100 days, they are creating a future fan and a future advocate. I mean, that's just one example that comes to mind. obviously, I'm super excited to be part of the journey here in the community growth and the advocacy growth at Automation Anywhere. And I think that those of us who have been invested in this space for all these years, the transparency with which people interact now post-pandemic, it makes our jobs less difficult and much more fun and fulfilling.
Yeah, no, I agree. In your space that you're focused on, any kind of emerging trends? I mean, one thing that comes to mind is I wish more community platforms had automation.
Well, exactly. I mean, obviously, we are our best customer of automation, and that really helps with some tasks. I do think that there is a freeing up of space and time to spend more time on the road meeting with customers. This model, this flipped model, means you do need to invest time differently. You need to be having dinners and lunches and meals with your community, right? You need to be passionate about finding people who are solving a problem, not just hawking a product. You need to be patient. You need to tell a story of community building over time. And we are only able to do all of that and be like amazing moderators in the community and all that because we're able to automate a lot of the back-end manual tasks. I do wish, Scott, that the platforms available today, and we have a fantastic platform and super excited to grow the community on it, do want to look at what's happening in the market and be part of that trajectory change, be part of that merging of classic community building and classic advocacy.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly one of the things we're focused on at Base is the automation part and workflows. And what happens a lot, and I'm sure you can relate to this, is the main persona we're looking at is the customer marketer, who tends to be a very, like, one or two person show.
Yep.
Products like ours can make their lives a lot easier.
Well, and that's so valuable because whether the classic customer marketer is ready for it or not, you know, when you're listening to your customer community, they need this connection at scale. People are ready to get back together for in-person events, but not necessarily ready for the huge cattle call events. So we have found small dinners, why I travel so much, small dinners, 5 or 10 people, again, one meal at a time, is reconnecting people. And that takes time. So your classic customer marketer probably is going to spend, who wants to get ahead of where this merging trajectory is going, will spend less time in their database and more time at the dinner table with their customers. And they need the tools to help them be successful with that.
Yeah, no, exactly. Is there anything that I haven't asked you today that you're like, Wilder, why didn't you ask me?
Wilder, why didn't you ask me about who's influenced my career the most and helped me learn and, you know, keeps challenging me?
I love it. I love it. So I'm going to flip the table. Now I'm going to ask you. So
Chris,
who has influenced you in your career and how do you think about your career?
Well, you know, I'm asked all the time what it's like to make a transition from one place where you've been a really long time to a new place and a new model. And I say with true authenticity, I feel like everything I've learned over the previous 20 plus years of my career has prepared me for this moment, for being part of the Automation Anywhere leadership team. So that's really exciting. But I could not be where I am without fantastic mentors and leaders. It's both a great question and unfair question because there's so many people who influence us. I'm sure that it's the same for you. I will point out a handful of folks. Parker Harris is the co-founder and CTO at Salesforce. He helped not just me and millions of people build the value of customer trust into our DNA, but also how to unleash innovation from your teams and manage scale. I would say one of his partners in crime who continues to be, you know, a great mentor to this day for me is Brian Millham, who's the COO at Salesforce. He really sets the bar in cultural stewardship and operational excellence. I mentioned Confluent. The CMO there, Stephanie Buscemi, has just been a fantastic mentor and sponsor to me, helping me think about my career, where I want to go, what's important to me. And here at Automation Anywhere, that mentorship conversation wouldn't be complete without mentioning our CEO, Mihir Shukla. He is so invested in the importance of community. And he has this message for all of us about what he's a mountaineer and has climbed like Mount Whitney and all these like really challenging mountains. And he describes this thick, invisible rope that connects everyone on the mountain and that it binds us in Automation Anywhere with our customers that we serve. And I love that metaphor of the thick, invisible rope that unites our whole community and our ecosystem. And then, of course, my family. Every step of the way, my kids are teenagers now, but they've never known anything but a mom who's out there talking to customers and traveling and working. And between each of them and my husband, you know, it takes a community to make anything happen. And so I just value all of those mentors and support people and all the many, many people that we don't even have time to talk about.
Well, that's great that you like, you know, sometimes I ask the question and people are like, let me think about it. I mean, these people are like front and center and the thing about thick invisible rope, I mean, it creates an image. I don't even know what he looks like, but it's an image of who this is and the rope and, you know, Parker Harris. So I love that. And you gave me the idea, maybe we should do a podcast episode about how families support us, right?
Oh, that is a great idea.
Share stories because
it's so relevant.
Really, yeah. Really relevant.
What do you most love about BASE and its role in advocacy and community building?
What I love about BASE is that it helps customer marketers obviously learn about our product, but more important, learn their craft and accelerate their career, right? So we're really trying to help folks be better at what they do and then accelerate their career and think about that this is a learning journey for everybody. And those of us that have worked in community, I think that's a big part of our DNA. And just like you, talking to customers, I mean, there's just something really powerful in that. You know, I like to tell the story of when I was at Intuit. You know, I thought I was pretty smart with my little MBA. I'd go into Scott Cook, the founder's office, and I'd say, they were in Google Sheets then. So there was like, here's my Excel. Like, you know, here's the data. Here's the engagement number. Here's the revenue numbers. And he would take it, and people can't see me what I'm doing. I'm kind of putting something in the virtual invisible trash. And he'd put it in the trash, and he'd say, tell me what they're saying. Tell me the words that your customers are using. Tell me the jobs that they're trying to do and the problems. But he was so focused on the words, and that's what kind of keeps us all honest, right? Because there's humans. They're not like, you know, customer ID numbers. They're not, you know, a row on a Google Sheet or a spreadsheet or whatever. And I always like that moment for me is just like stuck in my mind of just like, tell me what they're saying. And I think that's what we're trying to do with BASE, being the customer base, is really trying to understand what's important to these people. And it might be, hey, you know, there's something today I read about the quiet quitters and what that is.
I have heard about, yes.
Yeah. So the people, you know, their job is less important than it was maybe for, you know, other people. And so they're doing their job, but what they really want to do is find time to learn and to build their craft and things like that. And so I think, you know, fortunately, I'm in an opportunity where I can do that. And this Customer-Led Groove podcast gives that opportunity as well.
Well, so much of what you said like resonates right here, right? And it truly is a craft to connect with customers and lift up their stories. And it's so fun to talk about it. Like, we could probably talk much longer, but I want to be respectful of your time too.
Now we're going to do a sequel. I already have ideas for the sequel, including the family one.
Fantastic.
So Kristen, this has been great. Thank you very much for your time. Any last words?
Thank you, Scott. I really appreciate it. So much fun.
Now, this has been great. So thank you, everybody, for joining Customer-Led Groove. You can always find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google, and eventually Amazon Podcasts as well. And remember, it's important to get into the customer groove. Thank you.
Thank you again for joining Customer-Led Groove. Remember, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on the CLG campus. Feel free to rate us, follow us, and leave a comment on any of those platforms. We hope to see you again soon when we're back in the Customer-Led Groove.